Accession number 29079, reel number 1.
Larry Gaines, reel 1. If we could start with when and where you were born.
30th of August, 1919.
And where was this?
Oh, in Clapham, London.
Is this where you grew up?
That's where I grew up, yes. Went to school there and was there until I, in fact, joined the army.
What did your parents do?
My parents were in the theatre business. They were acrobats.
Was that something you considered following them in?
No, I didn't want to follow in that. They'd been around the world before 1930, but they packed it in then. My mother packed it in about 1919 when I was born. My father continued until about 1930, and then he retired.
Any brothers or sisters?
Yes, I had a brother and a sister. They were older than I, and they both died. My brother died about 15 years ago, and my sister 10 years ago.
What do you remember of your schooling?
Oh, I remember quite a lot. First of all, when I was 5, I went to a church school, a local church school in Clapham, called St. John's. And I stayed there for 5 years until 11. And then I was accepted to go to a school on Clapham Common called Henry Thornton School. This was then a LCC secondary school. Because of its connections with Clapham, all the houses were named after members of the Clapham sect, like Wilberforce, Pepys, Stephen, Macaulay, Cook, and Pepys. I think there were 6 of them. So it was a very fine school, very new, beautifully equipped. There were about 400 pupils. We had a sports ground area behind the school, big enough for a football pitch, a gymnasium, physics lab, chemistry lab, and the main playing fields were either on the Common, Clapham Common, or up in Roehampton. So I stayed there from 1931 to 1938. I matriculated there, and in 1938 I took my higher school certificate, and I managed to take 5 subjects, passed them all, and so gained exemption from an intermediate degree course. I then left there and went to the London School of Economics and started the course reading economics, economic history, and statistics. I then, whilst I was there, I thought because of the looming war, I ought to do something about getting myself trained. So I joined the Officer Cadets Training Corps in King's College across the Strand. And so when war began, I was not called up. I was already, I suppose, in the forces. And I was summoned for a medical at some, I can't remember the details, it was some military establishment in South Kensington. And according to my records, I went there in November 39. I wasn't called up until, well, although I'd volunteered, but I wasn't, as it were, called up to join until 1940.
While you were still at school, how much awareness did you have of the situation in Europe and the impending war?
Oh, quite a lot. I did two school trips. The first one was 1937 to the Paris exhibition, and then 1938 I went with a party to Germany, and we stayed up in the Harz Mountains, and whilst we were mixing with German boys then, I saw, for example, lots of gliders with the Nazi swastika on, and I thought, my God, why do they need all these? What are they training for? So it was quite evident with the Germans marching into the Ruhr and everything else that was going on, that the sooner or later there was going to be the Second World War, and it happened.
What sort of reception did the Germans give you?
Oh, that was quite all right. There was no hard feelings or anything.
And when war was declared in 1939, what were your feelings?
Oh, it's hard to remember exactly. I suppose I was rather glad that, in fact, I'd got some training in beforehand. And as it proved itself, when I actually started life in the army, I was sent to the Essex Regiment in Brentwood. And the first evening when we were being given the first of our uniforms, etc., the platoon sergeant said to me, "Gaines, you're going to an octu, you're a lance corporal, get these buggers fitted up." I remember that well. So within being in the army for, as it were, for a day, I'd already got my first promotion.
Did you have any reservations about being in command, as it were, of
No, none at all.
Going back to the officer training when you were still at college, what did that involve?
It was a Vickers machine gun outfit. So we used to go there twice a week in the evenings, well, early evenings, and have some training with the gun and rifle shooting on the small range, indoor range, and we also had a camp in I suppose it must have been July 1939.
Could you explain how the Vickers worked and how you'd organise the detail?
Well, how it worked? Well, it was a machine gun with a belt driven, so it was quite a heavy weapon. It had a hard base, and it really needed three men to operate it.
And what would each do?
Well, there would be the man carrying, I mean, as it happened, when I joined the Chindich some years later, part of each column had a machine gun platoon, a Vickers machine gun platoon. So my previous training, that was why I was selected by my colonel. He said, "You know about Vickers machine guns. You're in charge of the Vickers machine gun platoon." Right. Well, I don't know how that the other units operated with the gun, but one bloke had to carry it, and then there was the heavy tripod, and then there was the ammunition. So it needed at least three blokes to form, as it were, a gun unit.
When you joined the Essex Regiment, did you have any choice about the unit you were attached to, or were you sent?
No. It was all infantry platoons.
And you didn't have did you have a choice of particular regiments?
Not at that time. I only had a choice of regiment when I was commissioned.
When you first joined the Essex Regiment, what did your training involve at that stage?
Well, it was basic infantry training. Drill, rifle shooting, elementary tactics, I suppose you could call it that. But the thing was, everybody was, apart from myself and other OCTU candidates, they were all raw, so they had to be drilled, shown how to shoot, and get used to route marches. And of course it didn't go any longer as far as I was concerned, because after 3 months there I was sent to OCTU at Colchester.
How did you find the basic training, as it were? Had your previous officer training?
Oh, absolutely useful, because I knew how to shoot, I knew how to handle a rifle, I also knew how to fire a brain gun and dismantle a brain gun and all the cleaning, so that was all part of the basic training at the Essex Regiment.
And the discipline? The discipline?
How do you mean the discipline?
Did you... was it... how strong was the discipline, and did you find any problems?
I didn't find any problems with it. I was used to the discipline. I'd been in the Boy Scouts, and so I knew what it was to take orders. And in fact, as a Lance Corporal, even then... I was instructing people and giving commands, and from time to time I actually took the whole platoon on drill in the parade ground, marching them up and down, you know, turning left, turning right, etc., etc.
How were you accommodated at that stage?
In Brentwood? Oh, in Army Hut. I think there are 24 beds to a hut or something like that.
And?
It was a permanent barracks, of course, Brentwood. So the NAFI facilities and things like that were permanent. They were in brick. I remember them being in brick buildings.
And? What was the rationing like?
Pretty bleak. I do remember that our first meal was so-called supper, consisted of bread, margarine, and marmalade, and that you got some. I can't remember much about the other meals, but. I suppose we must have had some form of meat or potatoes.
And what about the off-duty time, as it were?
Oh, there wasn't much to do at Brentwood. We were allowed out of barracks, and most people, if they had any money in their pocket, went to one of the pubs or a cinema.
Were you able to have much contact with your family?
I can't remember the details. I didn't have any leave until I was going to OCTU, and then I had my first leave. There was no telephone because we didn't have a telephone at home then.
And moving then to your OCTU training, what happened then?
Ah, that in training was much more intensive, naturally. The discipline was much harder. We had guard sergeants who, for example, after a rally and getting dressed, when we had to make up our beds, the blankets had to be folded in an exact position. If they weren't in line, the sergeant would come along and give you a bollocking and say, do it all again. So that side of it was hard. Then we had more intensive training on tactics, army discipline, army law, insofar as it affected the duties of junior officers, because we were all going to be second lieutenants, we hoped. And then there was the problem also that the air raids were then starting on London, and apart from our training during the day, every third night we had to do guard duty in and around Colchester. So that meant we were up all night, you know, the usual thing, 2 hours on, 4 hours off, and then back to the barracks and spruce up and then get ready for drill or what other training there was. The training involved obviously more rifle shooting, and one of the best bits was an hour off or so for having driving lessons. Now, because of these duties, the standard of training was up, and the results were obviously dropping, so it was decided to move the OCTU to the Isle of Man. We went to Douglas and took over some of the tourist hotels there. But the training continued, and of course it was far better there because there were no other duties to do. The countryside lent itself better to getting used to tactics or either on defensive positions or attacking defensive positions. We also had lots of route marches, and we always like to march past the Italian prisoners of war who were also in hotels and compounds on the beach road. When we went past, if they tried to boo us, we always made out we were going to fix bayonets and charge, much to the officer in charge of us disgust. And of course, we all got reprimanded for such tactics, but we had a lot of Irish guardsmen who'd just come out of Norway, so they were in no mood to have insults from Italian internees.
What sort of tactics were you being taught? Did you feel they were fairly modern and suitable for what you'd be expecting on the battlefield, or...?
Oh, yes. Mainly how to make best use of your platoon, because we were all going to be platoon commanders in the infantry. It wasn't an ACAC, OCTU, or anything like that. It was basic infantry. So all the tactical training was how to instruct your section some sort of little battle plans.
And did the training involve any personnel managing and relation?
Oh, yes. Obviously, as a future officer, you had to be taught how to look after your men, what you should do when they had personal problems, how to deal with their letters, because everything had to be censored. So there was quite a lot of emphasis on what your duties were, your responsibilities were, or going to be.
And how long were you at the Isle of Man for?
I think for 2 months, and then I was commissioned in November 1940. December 1940. And at the end of the training, you could put in which regiments you wished to join. I, being born in Surrey, chose the West Surrey or the East Surrey regiment. You also had a third choice, and I had no idea of what that choice would be. I looked down the list of regiments and I saw the Sherwood Foresters. I thought, well, this is great, I'll put that down. And when my commission came through, much to my horror, it was to the Sherwood Foresters. So, just before Christmas 1940, I went to the regimental centre in Derby and stayed there until I joined the 1st 5th Foresters.
Did you feel that the officer training had prepared you?
Oh yes.
Commission?
Oh yes, it was pretty thorough despite the wartime conditions and the urgent need for officers, because the army was going to expand. I know that it was after Dunkirk, but obviously the intention was always going to be that we were going to get back into Europe or fight in Africa, etc., that lots of officers would be needed, especially as conscription had come in.
Where were you based with the Sherwood Foresters?
First of all, I went to East Dereham. I think we stayed there for about 6 months. And then, the 1st 5th Foresters were part of the 18th Anglian Division, and the whole division was then sent up into Scotland, and our base was at Hawick, or was it Hawick or Galler Shields, and the troops were billeted in the old mills, and the officers were billeted throughout the town.
What was your reception like when you joined the regiment?
Oh, very good. They were all in, particularly the colonel, a chap with Lieutenant Colonel Lilly. He was particularly intrigued at how a Londoner could be joining the Notts and Derbyshire Regiment, the Sherwood Foresters. I had to tell him that about how I made the selection. It was, they were okay. Now, after Gala Shields, the division was then brought down to the Midlands again, and my battalion, the 1st 5th, was based in Penkridge Hall in Staffordshire, near Wolverhampton.
How long had you been in Gala Shields for?
Oh, I think for about 3 months.
Was this just a continuation of training?
General training, yes. Lots of route marches and things like that. And then, after we'd come down to Penkridge, this was sometime in 1941. It must have been about August, I think. No, it was it must have been earlier than that. The the division was destined to be transferred overseas, and we were all given 1 week's embarkation leave. When I came back from my leave, I was feeling very unwell, so I reported sick. And the doctor, the MO, took one look at me and said, "Oh my God, you've got scarlet fever." So obviously I couldn't be put on board a troop ship. So I was sent, I've got the dates here, I was sent to the fever hospital in Lichfield on the 24th of October 1941. And I stayed in that hospital for a month. That was the standard isolation time. I was the only adult there. Everybody else were young children, and I can't remember much about it, except I got fed up with evening supper, which only consisted of fried bread and a slice of bacon. I left there obviously in a month later.
Do you recall what the treatment was?
No treatment for a scarlet fever. Just let it run its course, as far as I can remember.
And you were discharged after a month?
Yes. Now, after that, I was sent for a couple of months to a training, infantry training unit in, I think it was Lincoln. And then at the end of January 1942, I was sent to the 70th Battalion, the Sherwood Foresters. This was a young soldiers' battalion, and it was based at Curtin Lindsay, an RAF. My company was based on the RAF station at Curtin Lindsay. Now, it was whilst I was there that I learnt that Singapore had fallen, and my poor old mates were in that division which had to surrender at Singapore. And so for the next 3.5 years, everybody became POWs, and you know, there's no point in my telling anybody what hell those chaps had to go through. As far as I was concerned, I was just damn lucky that I'd escaped that. Now, I stayed with the 70th Battalion, and our duties were to man the three gates to the aerodrome. This was whilst the RAF were forming the RAF regiment, which eventually, of course, took over such duties. Whilst I was there, I ran three courses for RAF personnel, including pilots. One of them was gas drill. I'd been to the, whilst I was with the Foresters, I'd done a course at the Portland Down on gas training. So I passed out there, so I had to run courses on gas drill for a lot of the RAF personnel.
Larry Gaines, Reel 2. What did the gas drill involve?
Oh, just what action to take and how you put your respirators on and what protection you should take as regards skin, clothing, etc.
Was there a great concern that gas would be used?
No. No. It was a possibility. I think the experience of the First World War was that it was a double-edged weapon, because sometimes gas was released because the wind was in a favourable direction, and then the wind turned around and you got your own gas back again. So anyway, I don't know what the upper echelons thought about the possibility of gas, but as you probably heard, everybody had to carry a respirator. The other thing I did was I ran basic rifle training. So everybody, the group captain was very keen on this. Everybody in the station had to learn how to use a rifle. So if there had, although it was unlikely then, but if there was any invasion or parachutes dropping, everybody could fire. So that was one of my duties. And the other thing was I ran, particularly with the pilots, how to put up barbed wire, because the expectation was that once we landed in Europe, that sort of aerodromes or runways might be set up quickly, and it would be necessary to give it, that runway, some protection with barbed wire, and everybody had to learn to shoot on the ground.
Was there any particular method of putting up barbed wire that was...
No, I can't remember the details now, but you obviously had to have three coils of it, two on the ground and one on top of the other, too.